What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mike Milner, and today we are talking about breaking through a fat loss plateau. One of the most frustrating things in the world. I experienced it way too many times that I don't even really want to think back on those days, but they were frustrating. And I know how discouraging it can be when things are moving along and you're feeling yourself and you're feeling good. And then all of a sudden you hit that wall, you hit that plateau, and it's like, what the F? So we're going to talk about how to break through it. What is going on in your body when you hit a plateau? More importantly, what do you do about it? So this episode is going to break it all down for you and explain to you why conventional wisdom may not be the best approach if you hit a plateau, and what you should maybe do differently, or how to think about things slightly differently than maybe you have before. And hopefully this will help you continue to make progress on your journey. If it does help, I want to know about it. Please, nothing makes me happier than hearing about your success, especially if you gain just a little bit of value or like a little nugget of information from my podcast that helps you. I want to hear about it. So please do me a favor and shoot me a message on Instagram. It's at coach_Mike_Milner. And as always, I greatly appreciate it if you can screenshot the episode, share it to your stories, and tag me, or leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. That is the best way to help the show grow. And I appreciate every single review as long as it's authentic. I don't want a 5-star rating and review unless you really mean it, that this is a 5-star episode or a 5-star show. So no more small talk. Let's get into the episode, and I hope you enjoy it. Welcome everybody who is tuning in on the podcast. I appreciate you guys for listening to another Monday night edition. It's a live training session. Obviously, these podcasts don't come out until Wednesday, but I do them in the Facebook group live every Monday at 5:00 Eastern. So if you want to jump into the Facebook group, you are more than welcome to do that. I always have the link posted in the show notes so that anybody who is an avid podcast listener who also wants additional content and support in the community can join us in the group. Today's topic, we are going to discuss breaking through a fat loss plateau. And this is something that I honestly thought I did an episode on this before. And then I went back and looked, because now at this point I'm at 160 episodes, I believe, on the Mind Over Macros podcast, 160 episodes. And I went and scrolled through because I didn't remember every single episode that I've done. And I did not see one that was talking about breaking through plateaus, which is pretty strange. So either I did it and I just missed it for some reason, or this is long overdue. So weight loss plateaus, in particular fat loss plateaus, are super frustrating. And what I want to do is explain what's happening when we hit a plateau. Why does it happen? What's going on in the body, and what to do about it? My solution and what we teach at POP really kind of flies in the face of conventional wisdom or typical advice that you would get from another diet program. And I'd like to think, based off of the success we've been able to create with our clients, that the way that we do things is way more effective. And I'm going to talk from personal experience, because this used to be the most frustrating thing in the world for me personally. I was going through my weight loss journey and I would get so frustrated with plateaus. Like, my thought process was like, I need to force the scale to move lower, and I'm going to just will my way to making it happen. And that backfired. I'm going to get into that. But before we talk about plateaus and what they are, I want to first make this statement about what they are not. Okay. So if you are stagnant for a week, let's say things are fluctuating up and down and you're not really seeing the trends that you want, that's not a plateau. 1 week is not a plateau. 2 weeks is not a plateau. I would even argue that 3 weeks is probably not a plateau. So there's a big difference between hitting a plateau and just needing more patience. Or if you are wildly inconsistent and things aren't moving in the right direction, that's also not a plateau. That is a consistency issue. So I wanted to just bring that up right off the bat, because sometimes we get frustrated and say, well, I'm doing everything and my weight is not moving. And it's been like a week, or it's like nothing is happening. It's been like a month and I'm not seeing progress, and you're just all over the place and wildly inconsistent. So that is not a actual plateau. That is a lack of patience or a lack of consistency. But what I want to talk about today is a true plateau where you are being consistent. You were making progress. Things were moving in the right direction. You were noticing changes. And then all of a sudden it felt like you hit a wall. And not only did it feel like you hit a wall, but also your data showed that you hit a wall, not just the scale, but also pictures and measurements and basically looking at the big picture. Because another thing that happens is oftentimes people will say, I hit a plateau, because they're just looking at the scale. But then when you compare pictures, you can see that even though weight has stayed remarkably steady, their pictures are actually improving, or their measurements are actually improving. And so again, that's not a plateau. That's just, you weren't paying attention to the change that was actually happening, which is really why we want to rely on different metrics and not just the scale. We also want to look at pictures and measurements and biofeedback and see how things are actually progressing overall, not just in one single sliver of data. So a true plateau, when the pictures aren't improving, the measurements aren't improving. This is, like I said, this was something that used to frustrate me to no end. And it's like, you know, you're feeling so good about progress, and it's like this momentum stopper. You know, it's like you've got things firing on all cylinders, and all of a sudden, like, you hit this wall and nothing is working. All the things that you were doing, like, they're no longer effective, and it can be super frustrating. I specifically remember, because when I started my journey, I was around 250 pounds, and my initial goal was I just wanted to get below 200. And I remember that number being like stuck in my mind, and I would work so hard to get close. And then I swear it was like every single time I would get close to 200, then all of a sudden my body would just like stick right there. It would be like 200, 200.8, 201, 202, back to 200, back to 201. And I'm talking about weeks, not like the impatient plateau where it was like just 1 week. It was like, I would get there. I would get so close, and it just wouldn't happen. I literally remember thinking to myself, like, I'm going to break this scale, which I probably should have done. I always wanted to try harder. I always wanted to will my way towards breaking through that plateau. And by will my way, I mean cutting calories lower, increasing exercise. I vividly remember going back to my gym to do 30 on, 30 off bike sprints. I would get on this Airdyne bike, and I would just do sprints for like 30 minutes as a second workout. That was on top of, you know, all of the other workouts that I was doing, just to break through a plateau. And I would get all excited. The next morning, I would be like, all right, here we go. And still I would be over 200. And even times where I remember feeling like this, you know, that feeling of emptiness in your stomach when you're dieting, like restrictive dieting, and you're like really just famished and you feel just emptiness. You're like, there's nothing in there. I would feel that feeling, and that would actually excite me that the scale was going to be lower, because I'd be like, there's nothing in my system. I was eating super low calorie and I'm doing all of this exercise and it still did not work. So what would ultimately happen is that I would shift my mindset from try harder to fuck it, why bother? And I would go on an epic binge without fail. And I'm not talking about just one instance. This was my reality. For those of you who have listened to the podcast or followed me for any length of time, you know that I struggled with, you know, binge eating, restrictive dieting, yo-yo dieting, chronic dieting, you know, you name it. I went through it for several years, like the better part of a decade. And so this was my norm. You know, I would get really close to breaking through that plateau, and ultimately I would struggle. I would try harder. I would add exercise. I would cut calories without fail. I would binge, I would gain a bunch of weight back, and then I would feel so bad about myself that I was like, all right, well, here we are back at square one again. Let's dust ourselves off and try it again. And the problem is that most programs, most kind of like the conventional wisdom out there tells you that when you hit a plateau, that's what you need to do. They say like either increase your exercise, cut your calories, or do a combination of both because your body has adapted and you're no longer in a deficit. So you have to put yourself back in a deficit in order to lose body fat again. Now, there's a sliver of truth in that, but it's also really not the best way of going about it. So when we think about what is happening when we hit a plateau, it's really not that complicated. There's really one of two solutions or one of two reasons for a plateau. And again, I keep reiterating this, but I'm talking about a true plateau. When you hit a true plateau, the first potential cause is the adaptation that many people will say, like most quote unquote gurus will say, your body adapted to lower calories. So now that's, you know, you've downregulated your metabolism and you're just not in a deficit anymore. So in order to put yourself back in a deficit, you have to exercise more or eat less, right? And there's, again, that can be true. You can have the metabolic adaptations that occur when you're dieting, which would be, you know, downregulation of thyroid, your metabolism slows down, your body is trying to preserve the energy that it has. We see, you know, increase in hunger hormones, all these different things, decrease in sex hormones, basically trying to preserve energy. And you may very well have entered a place of metabolic adaptation where whatever you were doing, your deficit is no longer a deficit. That is potentially the case. The other potential cause is an overabundance of stress. So let's say things are working and you know, you're making a lot of progress, but then all of a sudden there's this accumulation of stress from too little calories, too much exercise, maybe relationship stress, maybe work stress, maybe your sleep is suffering, and all of these things just gradually build up over time. And once again, as the stress response kicks in, your body goes into storage mode, not really storage mode in the sense that like you're going to gain fat while in a deficit, but more so in the sense of energy preservation. Like there's a threat to the system and we want to survive. So we are going to preserve the energy that we have. And we're not going to let go of any of this body fat because we need this. We need this for survival. It is a protective mechanism. So either of those two causes, it's kind of the same net outcome, which is you're in a plateau. You are trying to do the same things and you're not getting the result that you were. The same amount of calories, the same macros, the same amount of exercise, all of a sudden that is not working. You're stuck. The scale's not moving. Your pictures are not improving. Your measurements are not improving. And it leads to a high level of frustration. Plateaus are actually one of the number one reasons why people go into fuck it mode. Like, why even bother? It's like, if I'm putting in all this work and nothing is happening, why should I keep putting in all the work? That's a different topic for another day. Really, that's just a misalignment of your why, like why you're doing this in the first place. But that's a whole mindset issue that, you know, we would tackle. What I want to talk about is more from a physiological standpoint. What do we actually do to break out of that plateau? So if we think about the two causes of the plateau, either there's a dramatic kind of adaptation that's happened where your metabolism has adjusted and you're no longer in a deficit, or there's just an abundance of stress on the system and your body is kind of holding on and preserving energy. Conventional wisdom would say, but to put yourself back in a deficit, you have to eat less and or exercise more, right? It makes sense. If now we're kind of at this adjusted maintenance and then we lower calories even more, well, now we're back in a deficit. The problem with that solution is you end up running out of real estate really quickly. Or you end up adding more stress onto an already stressed out system. So this is exactly what I used to do. So I know from personal experience how this can backfire and does backfire most of the time. If you are already in an overly stressed state and you reduce calories even more and you increase exercise even more, you are adding even more stress to an already stressed system. What do you think is going to happen? I can tell you the signals are going to get a lot louder, where your body was sending a signal through the plateau of, hey, we're kind of in this stressed out state right now, right? And what you responded with was, okay, I am going to stress you even more. And your body's going to say, okay, then I am going to scream even louder. And by screaming even louder, that means reducing metabolic rate even further, lowering thyroid, lowering sex hormones, increasing hunger and cravings, increasing moodiness, messing with your sleep. All these things are going to happen. You know, your immune system is going to be depressed. You are potentially going to lose your cycle if you are a female. All of these things are going to happen. And the net result of that is likely you're going to lose control. You're going to, you know, as much as you try to white knuckle your way through it, ultimately you're going to hit your breaking point. You're going to overindulge. You're going to binge. Your body's going to thank you for it. And it's going to hold on to more of that food that you have coming in because it wants to protect you. So your body's going to be kind of like a sponge and you're going to end up feeling really bad about it. So the other option, let's say that you do reduce calories and you increase exercise more, but let's say that your body does respond and you do get things moving again. That will be very short-lived until your body adapts again to even lower calories. So let's say you were down like 10 pounds and you hit a plateau and then you reduce calories even more and you lose a couple more pounds and then your body stops, hits another plateau. Where do you go from there? Because it's kind of a race to the bottom. Like, let's say you are already pretty low calorie, like you're eating 1600 calories, then you hit that plateau, then you go to 1400, then you hit that plateau, then you go to 1200. Like, you are running out of real estate very quickly. And when you get to those kind of like crazy low numbers, like 1400, 1200, your body is going to adapt very quickly and it's going to send signals. It's going to start screaming at you. Basically, it's going to send even louder signals than it was doing previously. So hopefully that helps to explain what may have happened to you in the past, because that's what happened to me in the past. And I know that a lot of you that listen to me or follow me have experienced similar things that I went through. So essentially what's going on is you want to send the reverse signal. And this is why I say, like, what we do typically flies in the face of what a quote unquote guru will tell you, or kind of like the traditional advice that you would get. But in order to elicit a change and get your body to respond again, we need to send a new signal. The signal should not be more stress through less food and more exercise. The signal should be one of safety, because if your body feels safe, it is going to respond more favorably. So what do? We do the opposite, right? We eat more. We send the safety signal through training, nutrition, and lifestyle, which means that we start prioritizing things like recovery. We start prioritizing things like less training. We prioritize things like more food or better quality food. We want to send the signal that, hey, everything's okay. Even though we were under some stress because of this calorie deficit that was working so well, we know that you're stressed out right now, but everything's going to be fine. So we eat a little bit more to send that safety signal to basically restore temporary homeostasis. Because when you're in a deficit, when you're dieting, you are disrupting homeostasis, no matter how you cut it. You can try to like decorate it any way that you want, but you're still disrupting homeostasis. That's just a fact. And we want to send that signal that, hey, even though we were disrupting homeostasis, we still are okay. We're still okay. So one of my favorite ways to do that is to incorporate 2 days at maintenance calories back to back. So you've got like a 48-hour period where your body feels like homeostasis has been restored, just for 2 days, and see how your body responds. So if you do back to back, you know, you can call them refeed days at maintenance, and you prioritize recovery, because what sometimes people will do is they think they need to quote unquote make up for the calories that they, you know, oh, well, I'm eating back at maintenance, so I have to make up for it by training harder and training more and, you know, running myself rampant. That defeats the purpose. We're trying to send that homeostatic signal. So increasing back to maintenance and prioritizing recovery and getting adequate sleep, that is sending the homeostatic signal. Then going back to what you were previously doing after those 2 days and seeing what happens. For some people, that will be enough to break through the plateau. Just those 2 days. For some people, it won't be. For some people, that's not enough time for your body to kind of register that things are okay. And if that's the case, then I prefer to go to a week at maintenance and really focus on recovery and really focus on stress management and quality sleep and proper nutrition and hydration. And, you know, and literally looking at taking away training days and just having a whole week where you are doing nothing more than giving your body the signal that everything is okay and that it can continue to let go of body fat and that it's going to be fine. So we go through a whole week, if the 2 day refeed doesn't work, a whole week at maintenance, and then go back into your deficit. And for most people, that will break through the plateau. In the event that that doesn't work, we can go through the process of reverse dieting. I wouldn't go there yet. So sometimes we can extend it to a 2 week diet break of maintenance. What I like to look at is I want to pull every lever possible before I go to like a full-on reverse diet or a full-on calorie reduction. Like I want to look at every single toggle that we can play with before going to that point. So one of the things that I would look at is maybe we're reducing high intensity activity and increasing low intensity activity so that when we go through this refeed period or diet break, whether it's 2 days, 1 week, or 2 weeks, we're also looking at the inputs of exercise. So we're taking away intensity, but we're adding low intensity like walking. So let's say, for example, I'm somebody that trains 6 days a week or 5 days a week of CrossFit. Maybe I'm cutting that back to 3 days a week and I'm just focusing more on low intensity, steady state and going through that period of extra recovery, extra rest, more food, eating at maintenance and walking more. Then when I go back into my deficit, my body responds because there's more recovery. There's not as much stress. And then from there, I can, you know, use that to my advantage because we've got more room to work with. I didn't have to reduce calories, right? So we've still got some real estate to work with. I would also look at not just the amount of steps that somebody's getting or low intensity activity, but I would also look at food quality. And I would also look at monitoring recovery days total. So again, we can look at the, you know, sleep quality. We can look at food quality. We can look at stress, recovery days, rest days, all of these things are going to play a role. So if I've now like messed with all of these different toggles and still nothing is happening, likely that person was coming in already metabolically adapted. So in that scenario, I would go through a true reverse diet and spend a good amount of time eating at maintenance, restoring homeostasis. I know the most common question is how much time. That is going to be highly individual. For some people, it can be as little as 2 to 3 months. For other people, it needs to be much longer. It depends on how your body responds and your biofeedback and how you feel. So that's, you know, really what we look at. So now, when somebody is coming to us and they've already restored homeostasis, they've already been, you know, let's say they reverse dieted, they've been eating at maintenance for a long period of time, and then we're going through the process of losing body fat, and then they hit a plateau. And then let's say we've done the refeeds and we've done the diet breaks and we've added rest days and recovery days and we've worked on stress management and still nothing is happening. Well, then we would look at reducing calories. And that really depends on where they're cutting from. Because let's say I have somebody and they need to cut on lower calories. Well, then in that case, I really don't want to cut further. So it's always dependent on the individual. You know, for me right now, I can use myself as an example. I'm cutting on pretty high calories. So when I hit a plateau, which I inevitably will, my first thing will be will be to have back-to-back refeed days and then go back to my numbers right now. If that doesn't work, I'll do the week maintenance and then go back to my deficit. If that doesn't work, I'll look at my steps and adjust my steps. And then I'll look at my training and recovery days. And then as a last resort, I'll reduce calories further because I have plenty of room to work with. I'm not worried about going too low right now because I've got some real estate to work with. So it highly depends on the individual. Most of the time when we work with people, it's not even necessary to just drop down calories so low. We never get to that point because of the fact that we take the time to go through a metabolic priming phase, which is just what I call it. Like, I don't know why that phrase sounds good to me, but it's, you know, making sure that all of our clients are being put in a position of restoring homeostasis, you know, making sure that their metabolism is functioning the way that we want it to, that their body feels ready and safe enough to let go of body fat. So that allows them to make sustainable progress on much higher calories than they thought possible. Therefore, when we do hit a plateau, you know, we use the tactics, we use the refeeds, the diet breaks, but we've got more room to work with so that if we need to go there, the calorie reduction isn't a big deal. Most programs, it's a race to the bottom. Most programs, literally, that's what they do. When you hit a plateau, they'll either blame you for not being consistent enough and tell you that you just need to hit your macros better or try harder or want it more. Or they'll be like, all right, well, then you're getting less food. Or they'll tell you to add more exercise, throw in an extra cardio session. They'll start, you know, adding more stress to an already stressed out system. And I'd like to believe that they have your best intention in mind, but the reality is that, you know, the industry profits from failure. So if you inevitably hit that, you know, fuck it mode and start overindulging and gaining weight back, well, guess what? Then you're going to need them to lose more weight, or that's what they want to happen. So, you know, we have to understand how these things are set up and just think about it practically. Like if we're in a plateau because of too much stress, and then we reduce calories further and increase exercise more, we're just adding stress to a stressed out system. The only result of that can be a negative. It's either going to send those signals even louder, or it's going to throw your mindset off like it did for me, because I was always trying to force the issue. And when I couldn't force it, when I couldn't will my way to breaking through that plateau, I would just be like, why even bother? Screw this. I'm not even going to try. And would go the opposite direction. And then I'd have to feel like an asshole, feel like a failure, and feel the guilt and shame, and then try it all over again. And it wasn't until I learned what was actually going on in my body until I realized how backwards that solution was. And it didn't make sense. So like, that's why I say the calorie reduction should be the very last resort. That should be the very last resort. After we've looked at all the different toggles, after we've looked at, you know, taking a deload week from training or recovery, adding an extra rest day or two, increasing calories back to maintenance for 2 days or a week or 2 weeks, adding more stress reducing activities, maybe going for more walks, you know, stretching more, getting some extra sleep if possible. Like once we've exhausted all of those things, then we can go to lower calories. But we really want to be in a place where lower calories isn't that big of a deal because we've done the work. You know, that's the thing that I really want to hammer home, is it's often the work before the dieting phase that makes the dieting phase so effective, which is the exact reason why I say, like, we go through that metabolic priming phase with all of our clients to make sure that we start them at enough calories overall so their bodies do respond favorably when they want to lose fat. So that means it's going to be more sustainable. That means that when a plateau happens, we can still break through it without just reducing calories. And it's also easier to be more flexible. One of the things that I hear so often is just the restrictive nature of other programs where you feel like you have nowhere to go other than perfection, right? It's like you're either made to feel like a failure because you weren't consistent enough, or you feel like a rebel because, you know, you're doing things that are quote unquote off plan. It is so much more effective to incorporate freedom and flexibility into the process. Foods that you love, alcohol if you want to drink, social events, date nights, things that make life fun. Like, those experiences matter. They matter for enjoyment. They matter for sustainability. If you have to just eat chicken and broccoli every night for the rest of your life, I promise you the results won't last. You might see some progress temporarily, but it won't last. So most of our clients come to us with the belief that they need to be miserable in order to achieve their goals. And that's what they quickly learn, is that being miserable is the exact reason why they haven't reached their goals. And so when we can flip that script and come from a place of sustainability and enjoyment, it makes the process so much more effective. And I always caveat that message by saying, of course, there are sacrifices that need to be made when you want to lose body fat. Like I mentioned, by its very nature, we are disrupting homeostasis temporarily. That's why we want to, you know, put ourselves in a position to not have to suffer, though, to not have to be that miserable. So we want to reduce misery as little as possible. We want it to be as enjoyable as possible. So, like I said, like, we can incorporate that into the process, and it allows us to help clients break through plateaus. Sometimes it's just manipulating macros, playing around with the daily stressors in their lives, adjusting things to make sure they're recovering better from training. That's another thing. Like, if we understand the way that you're training and we can optimize your nutrition to align with that, to fuel performance and to make sure that you're getting adequate recovery, then you're going to respond more favorably. So, you know, certain foods, certain macro ratios will help more with reducing stress than others. Certain foods, certain macro ratios will help with fueling performance more than others. It really depends on the modality. It depends on the intensity. It depends on your training frequency. But that's why we pay attention to those little things that make a difference. So we want to make sure that the plan is in alignment with training, with lifestyle. It all comes down to consistency at the end of the day. But it's much easier to be consistent if you enjoy the process, if it's built for your lifestyle, if you are actually feeling good, your biofeedback is solid, you've got good energy, your hunger's not all over the place. Like, it is just much more effective. The last thing that I want to mention is the power of neurotyping when it comes to feeling better, understanding your brain chemistry, which, if you haven't taken the personality assessment, I highly recommend it. I'll incorporate that link in the show notes so that anybody who has not taken it, but essentially your personality type gives us insight into your brain chemistry, where we can actually use certain food choices to help you feel your best, have more mood stability, less stress on your system, and having a plan that's kind of in alignment with the way that you're wired. Again, it helps with better consistency, enjoying the process more. For those of you that haven't gotten deep into the specifics of neurotyping, just think quality food. Just think mostly whole foods. You don't have to overthink it. Like, this is something that we do for our one-on-one clients, but if you're just trying to like absorb this information and apply it to yourself, just think mostly high quality whole foods, quality protein, quality carbs, healthy fats. Like, you don't have to overthink it. Mostly whole foods, real food, and incorporate the stuff that you love in moderation. And, you know, again, you can kind of assess based off of how things are progressing. Like, for example, one of the things that I cut back on during my cut is alcohol. Normally, I like to drink, maybe 2 to 4 drinks a week. Right now, maybe 1 drink per week, because I can make progress and still enjoy myself by having 1 drink per week. It doesn't impact my quality of life. I can still enjoy it. Yeah, it's a sacrifice, but it's one that I'm willing to make to get this done with, to get this cut over with as fast as possible. And then I'll do things, more intelligently to get back to maintenance, where then I can get back eventually to 2 to 4 drinks per week. So it is like, just think about that from food quality standpoint, from a consistency standpoint, like really everything that I just outlined, like those are the steps that we take for all of our clients when we work with them in a one-on-one fashion. And that's why we prefer to do things in a more like high touch, highly integrated way, because we can monitor all of those things. We can see exactly how your metabolism is responding, how your body's responding mentally, emotionally, how you're responding. And we can also see things like, you know, body composition changes that you might not notice in yourself. We can see just overall how you're feeling about things. We can look at the subjective data and the objective data. So really that is like, that's our process. We go through the metabolic priming. We look at the proper macro ratios for you based off of your training and your lifestyle. And if we need to focus more on stress reduction and recovery and fueling performance, we look at the daily stressors in your life, your habits, the hydration. We look at, you know, your actual training modality, and we can, you know, incorporate things that you might enjoy more. And, you know, looking at certain food choices based off of your neurotype, your brain chemistry, that will help you feel more like yourself, that will help you stay more consistent. It's really straightforward. It is much more effective, in my opinion, to do things the right way, where you've got that foundation for success long-term, versus trying to like rip the Band-Aid off and constantly go with the eat less, eat less, eat less approach. Why not do things in a way that makes more sense practically and produces greater long-term sustainability? So if we can break through a plateau and not have to starve ourselves, that's a win-win, because now your body's responding and you're happier. Like, that's exactly what we're going for. So anyway, I always try to mention this at least once per episode. But if you are interested in the one-on-one coaching program, you can simply shoot me a DM on Instagram or Facebook. Either one is fine. The process is super simple. You DM me, you tell me you're interested. I ask you a few questions to make sure that it's the right fit. Because what we do is for a very specific individual at a specific part of their journey. So I do have to make sure it's the right fit. If it is, then we'll ask each other some questions. We'll figure out it's the right fit. And then I'll invite you into the program. And that's how it works. It's pretty straightforward. Guys, I hope this was helpful. Please, if you have any questions, drop them in the comments of the Facebook live. Or if you're listening on the podcast and you have any questions, just shoot me a message on Instagram. It's @coach_Mike_Milner. And I will talk to you guys very soon.